Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you think that Adam and Eve ever fully understood what they had really and truly done when they disobeyed God that first time? God's creation was perfect. They had everything they could need. Humanity was set. Their disobedience ruined it all. Every single one of their descendants following has suffered because of their mistake. All because of one brief moment. One temptation to go against God's word. One small suggestion to take matters into their own hands. Can you imagine the guilt they must have felt? Just realizing that they had messed things up for themselves alone would have been bad enough. But imagine the regret if they knew that billions of people for thousands of years to come would be plagued by their sin. Not to mention being doomed then to commit innumerable sins on their own. Left alone in such a situation, there could be no hope. Instant depression would have struck them. No way could they continue on in this life. But God did not leave them alone. He did not gloss over their sin. He did not announce to them that accidents happen. Or everything is okay, don't worry. Almighty God called Adam and Eve out for their sin. He announced to them the just punishment for their sin. They were both cursed, not by the forces of evil, not by fallen angels, but by God Himself. Cursed to have more difficult lives here on earth. And the creation itself was cursed as well, becoming more and more difficult to tame over time. Adam and Eve were removed from the Garden of Eden and forbidden from ever eating of the tree of life itself. Even though Adam and Eve got exactly what they deserved, God made them a promise. Yes. Their descendants would suffer the consequences for their sins, not forever. God, the Father of the perfect creation, would send a Savior from sin. Life forever was still possible, could still be lived with God by the work of that Savior, the work that He would do for all mankind. God's eternal Son is that Savior. He was sent into this world to be the new Adam. Immediately after His baptism, Jesus Christ was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. And the devil would take all of his best shots at Jesus. And this was intentional. It was God's plan. Jesus must endure all the attacks of Satan. He must endure what Adam and Eve endured. To be man's Savior from sin, Jesus must not give in to any temptation. For 40 days, He faced temptations by Satan. 40 days, over a month's time, day in and day out. The devil hit Jesus with everything that he could. For 40 days, 40, a number meaningful for the Jews who knew that their own ancestors had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, grumbling against God, not trusting His word. And for those 40 days, Jesus was fasting. St. Luke adds that He ate nothing the whole time. A Amazing. 40 days. No way, then, could anyone lessen the force of this sequence of events for Jesus. No food, little rest, 40 days alone with the devil in the wilderness. This was far from easy. And Jesus did not get lucky and only have to be good a few moments in time. He was in complete control the entire time. Not once did he grumble. Not once did he give in. Not once did he sin. After 40 days of trying, the devil wound up his greatest attacks yet. 40 days with no food, truly remarkable. And so there was no way that any human being could resist the urge to satisfy such hunger. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Who among us could refuse? He had nothing, did Jesus? He was starving. Adam and Eve had everything. They were full. They gave in, and they ate. Jesus refused and did not eat. Adam and Eve sinned. Jesus did not. After that monumental failure, the devil took Jesus to the holy city and put him on the very high point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. You're the Messiah, right? You will not die before the appointed time. I think it's safe to assume, would say the devil. So you can truly do whatever you want and not get hurt, right? So go ahead. Do it. God will send his angels to rescue you. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Jesus could have turned stone into bread. He had the power. And the act itself would not have been sinful. But giving in to the temptation would have been. And Jesus could have tested God by throwing himself off of the temple, but that too would have been sin. But Jesus had no need to do as Satan tempted. Jesus was fully confident in his identity. He did not need to demonstrate his power to the great deceiver. Finally, the devil tried to appeal to man's desire to have great power here on earth. And Satan himself knew of his influence over the earth, having practiced his craft for centuries. He offered then to give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory if Jesus would simply worship him. Adam and Eve were pure, and they were blessed by God. Their desire was for more. They wanted to be more like God. And yet Jesus, as Paul would later write, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he resisted the temptation to attain to earthly power, knowing full well that his kingdom is not of this world. Not even everything that the world could offer mankind was worth breaking the first commandment. To emphasize Jesus' full humanity throughout all of this, we have this emphasis on the true worship of God. Even as the Son of God, even as the Christ, this is still number one. And Jesus did not refuse these temptations for his own benefit. He could have overthrown the devil instantly, sent him packing without a question. But Jesus knew why he was there, for each and every one of us. And so Jesus must simply answer no to Satan. Nothing more, nothing less was needed. Succeed for Adam and Eve fails. That was it. And that is what he did. That whole time of 40 days of temptation were filled with candid attacks by Satan. He was very forthright with his jabs, as the whole period of time was designed to be the temptation of Christ. And while the devil would leave Jesus after this period, he would not give up. He would not give up tempting Jesus. One little misstep would still be all that is needed for the whole plan to fail. And so more subtle approaches would follow. Satan would use Peter, one of Jesus' own inner circle, to try to convince Jesus that going to the cross was not God's will. Satan would incite the religious leaders of the Jewish people to demand signs from Jesus to prove his power and to create faith in them. Even while hanging from the cross in utter agony, Jesus heard the veiled attacks of Satan. If you are the Christ, come down from the cross. It's not accurate to say that all of these temptations fell on deaf ears. Just the opposite. Jesus heard every single one of them. And it was not that Jesus was able to ignore those temptations. Rather, it was that Jesus was able to put his faith and his trust in God above all things. So each temptation that Jesus faced throughout that period of time was defeated by his reliance on God's word alone. Jesus shows what the perfect relationship with God is truly like. Perfectly trusting in him for all things. Fully dependent on God's word. And it's always staying true to one's vocation, one's position in life, never trying to be what one is not. Initially, these temptations of Jesus were not public knowledge. No one was there with Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. So the gospel writers had to be the ones to report this story later on as Jesus would teach. But none of them, at the end of their account, in their wisdom and in their knowledge, would encourage their readers, hey, now go and do likewise. Jesus' resistance of temptation was not to show you how to go and do it as well. It was not to motivate you to do better or to try harder against the attacks of the devil. Rather, it was to win the victory for you. Jesus had to succeed where Adam failed. Jesus had to obey where you and I sinned. And Jesus did. Jesus faced candid temptations and subtle ones. You and I do as well. You face those blatant temptations that are quite often easy to overcome. But those also that are much more easy to rationalize. You know, as do I, our constant failure to resist even a small portion of the temptations we face each and every day. Jesus resisted them all. And by his suffering then and his death upon the cross, Jesus gave his perfect record of resisting temptation. He gave that record to you. And so you now stand undefeated against the devil in God's sight by faith in Jesus alone. That perfection of Jesus, what Adam was intended to be, Jesus then gives to you. And he covers over you from the moment of your baptism, when those waters first touched you, through each time you commune at his table. Jesus' grace is given to you time and time again. And in that knowledge and in that peace, you can indeed go forth into the world doing your vocations that God has given to you, the works which Christ has prepared in advance for you to do. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith in Jesus alone. Not your work, but Christ's work. His defeat of the devil, given to you as a gift. Given to you as a gift. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.